Well, g'day friends, how are you? Welcome to The Graham Show, my daily update. Haven't actually done these for a few weeks, so I'm gonna try to get back into the daily discipline of just doing a quick video and also writing every day. Something the Lord told me to do. Somebody came and gave me a great prophetic rebuke yesterday and said, God's told you to be writing and you're not writing, so. This is part of my process. So I trust you're well. Today is February. Wow, time is flying. So today is the 1st of February. And here in Massachusetts, it's currently, well, there's a lot of snow out there and we're expecting a really big snowstorm. So everybody is has bought lots of food and staying at home. So I figure it's a great time to go out. I'm about to go out for a coffee and go and do some things in my office because I may not get there for a couple of days. So just you having a great day wherever you're at. What else is going on? A good time at church here in Sturbridge yesterday. Hey, this coming Wednesday, so February the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. I'll be doing a live teaching in our cafe here in Sturbridge, Cafe Life, and also we'll be live streaming that. I'm going to be talking about prophetic reformation. You know, 500 years ago, Martin Luther looked at the state of the church, the Roman Catholic Church at the time, and the, you know, some good, but a lot of mess and unbiblical and frankly just crazy, stupid teachings that were going on, indulgences, purgatory, things like this. And he went to the you know, the cathedral at Whitstable and nailed these, was it 97 or 93? I always forget. Theses, you know, these propositions of this is what church should do, this is what we shouldn't do. I believe we're in a season where we as spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave, Bible Christian, I call it, we need some prophetic reformation. We need to clear our own house. And I'm going to be speaking this coming Wednesday. I'm going to be talking about 10 theses, 10 principles by which we can judge prophecy. I think God wants prophecy to be a normal. It shouldn't be weird. It shouldn't be spectacular, but it should be really powerful. In fact, I've noticed it's like a sliding scale. The more weirder and dramatic and the people who want to do really dramatic, theatrical things in the prophetic, there's usually very little power. It's like I wouldn't give a dollar for the words they give. And sometimes the people who give really quiet, unassuming things are powerful and accurate. So I'm going to talk about how both in the local, both in our lives, in the local church and in the wider body of Christ, how we can have principles to judge prophecy, how we can actually encourage and raise and nurture, how the local church should be a nursery. It should be a school of the prophets in a way. It should be a place where we raise up people who really are hearing from God. And sadly, at least in the charismatic world, I think this has not been the case, but I believe God wants to see that change. So invite you to either join us if you're in Massachusetts here, Sturbridge at 7 p.m. we're going to do some worship, and 7:30 p.m. we're going to be going live, or you can follow that online on any of my websites or social media things as well. Good. I'm actually beginning a new series for February. I'm going to be talking about the upside down kingdom. I'm actually going to be speaking from the Sermon on the Mount, literally going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount and teaching about the upside down kingdom. It's really, I don't want to say it worries me because nothing worries me, but it concerns me when I see Christians trying to bring nationalism, patriotism, things like this into the Christianity. It's like I've seen people adopt a worldview that says we will bring in the kingdom with a sword. And, you know, the opposite. Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, if somebody steals your coat, he doesn't say punch them in the face. He says, give them your second coat. He says, if they punch you in the face, turn the other cheek. And, you know, radical things that are so far our Western Christianity, it's not that it's radical, it's just tepid and lukewarm. It's not radical enough. So I'm going to be speaking about a radical kingdom, a radical revolution that Jesus wants us to join. Good. Gonna upset some people with that, but that's all part of the deal. Hey, let me share a thought with you today, just as I close here. But there's something I've been doing for the last 6 months. I've been doing some intermittent fasting. I know it's probably all the vogue, but it's actually a really powerful way of eating, of losing weight. And I'm not going to give medical advice here. No hydroxychloroquine or whatever on my videos. But here's the point, though. And I think it's true, God actually created us physically to do that. When you do an intermittent fasting, basically you have times, windows where you are fasting and windows where you are feasting. Feasting ones are better. But, you know, I think as we walk with God, as we walk through life, as we walk in the Spirit, in my understanding, there are going to be seasons where we feast. There are going to be seasons where God just comes and lavishes us and we've got His presence and His joy and His love. And we feel Him, we experience Him. He's encouraging us, He's visiting us. And yet, if I'm honest, and I make a case for this biblically as well, it seems like there are seasons of fasting in the Spirit. Seasons where God says, I want you to walk, and I'm always going to be loving you, but you won't be feeling my loving right now. I'm always going to be joyful and my joy is available to you, but you won't necessarily feel it. I'm always speaking to you, but you won't necessarily hear me for a season. Jesus went through this. You know, Jesus went through, if you think about it, here's a thought I've never had. Probably the greatest encounter any man, because Jesus was fully man as well as fully God, anybody had ever experienced. Can you imagine if God the Father spoke audibly from heaven? He only did it three times in the whole Bible and said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Jesus, like 30 seconds afterwards, if you will, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit without measure, John 3 says. So Jesus hears an audible voice. The Father says, you are my Son, establishes identity. You please me. Wow. And then he's full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes from that experience to possibly the worst experience of his life to that time. Obviously the cross later. But my point is, Jesus is then in the desert. No friends around him, no cousin to baptize him, no audible voice, no support, no bread, no food, no meat, heat on him or cold, pain maybe. You know, he's out there in the desert with nothing. He's in a fasting season, literally, for 40 days. Israel fasted. They went 40 years in the desert. Jesus did it in 40 days. But my point is this. Jesus is in this fasted season where there's no support, no feeling, no sensation, no emotion in his walk with the Father. And then what happens? Satan comes to him, if you're the Son of God. The Father says, you're my beloved Son. Satan says, if you're the Son of God. You're my beloved Son, if you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. And Jesus, here's my point. Jesus did. How did Jesus overcome Satan? Exactly the same way we should and we need to. Jesus says, it is written. It is written. It is written. You know, the Bible never says when Jesus says it was written that this angels started singing. There was like a little, vocal effect in the background. All these emotions came. Probably Jesus felt tired and hungry and miserable and at a human level, you know, weak and depressed and down and sorrowful. Jesus sorrowed. Jesus wept. And yet he wasn't talking about how he felt. Okay, so what happens when we're in one of the seasons? Real quick, let me give you five quick keys. Number one, don't deny how you feel. If Jesus would have gone to the devil and said, I feel really great. Every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. Okay, that's called a lie. Faith is not about denial. Faith doesn't deny the reality of what you're walking through. Rather, faith denies its permanency. Faith denies its authority to dictate who you are. Faith says it's real, but it's not who I am. It's real, but it's subject to change. It's real, but it's not permanent. So, number one, don't deny those things. Number two, come back to the Word. It's really interesting that no matter how I feel and how you feel, God's Word never changes. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that the Bible doesn't, you don't read a verse one day and then come back to it 2 days later and it's different. No matter how you and I feel today, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. Yeah, but Graham, I've got this pain. Yeah, I know you have, sweetheart. I'm not denying that. I've got compassion for you. But the Bible still says what the Bible says. So come back to the Word. Number three, don't be surprised when you're tempted or tested in that way. How does Satan test us? You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil speak to us. By and large, most temptations exist between our two ears. They exist in that thought realm. And the The power that is realizing and recognizing those thoughts when they come. And again, it's you may be better than this than I am, but I've been practicing for a while, and it's hard at times. Thoughts don't sort of come and knock at the door. Hello, I'm a thought. Would you accept me? You find yourself suddenly feeling that. It's funny how if you experience something physically, you can kind of drift into that place, and you suddenly catch yourself in that thought pattern. And the key is to recognize, how do you overcome thoughts? Jesus gave us the key in Matthew 6. He said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? How do you take a thought? By saying it. How do you get rid of a thought? You say the thoughts of God. So when Satan comes and says, you're not God's beloved son, you say no. Boom. It is written, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on me that I should be called the Son of God. Where does the Bible say that? 1 John 3 verse 2. we say what God says. We come back to the word. Yeah. And lastly, here's the thing though, if we will keep coming back to it is written, it is written, it is written, Satan will leave. You know, I know this at an emotional level where any of us are under an attack, it's sort of baked into the DNA of an attack that we believe Satan will never go away, never leave. And that is a lie. Satan, if we resist him, he will flee. It is written. He will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. And lastly, here's my point, that when we come out of a fasted season, if you will, a desert season, the good news is you've got a feasting season ahead. You're going to have a release of visitation. But here's the point. You don't go into the next feasting season in the same way you went into the fasting season. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. But Luke says he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now on planet Earth, there are probably over 1 billion believers right now who are kind of Pentecostal, charismatic, third world, again, just Bible experience. Thankfully, the demonic lie of cessationalism, that kind of reformed nonsense, is dying the death as it should do. The church is being washed in the water of the word, and we're growing up in him to the fullness of all things. And there's some stutters and stops and false starts on that journey. That's okay, but we're going to get where God wishes us to be. Here's my point to you though, that there are, let's say, 1 billion people full of the Spirit right now. There are very few who walk in the power of the Spirit. How do we go from fullness to power? We go through temptation, testing, trial, James chapter 1. We count it all joy. We confront Satan not by some feeling or goosebump or ding-dong prophecy we heard on the internet, but by it is written. It is written, it is written. And when we do that, there will be a release into power, a release into fullness, a release, the very thing we stand on and say, confront Satan with in the it is written, we'll actually end up feeling, we'll end up experiencing, we'll end up living in the good of that really soon. So that's my encouragement for you today on this snowy day. Walk with the Lord. If you're in a feasting season, great, enjoy. If you're not, great. Love you. Let me pray for you. But don't park. Don't sit there thinking, what did I do wrong to get here? Maybe nothing. You know, sometimes God sends you to the desert. He said in Hosea, I will send you into the desert and there I will love you freely. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Go to the desert. Sometimes God lets you into a desert season when he's really, really pleased with you. Good. Hey, again, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button, give the bell symbol a long press, drop me a comment and check out some of the links below. Love to hear from you guys. And thanks for watching. Bye for now.